I don't sing as good as Pastor Haynes, so we're not going to start out with any songs. And we're going to, being that it's Christmas Eve, we're going to try to get this done a little quicker so you guys can get out to your families. And obviously, we're a little bit late anyway, so as the handouts are coming out, you guys can turn to Joshua 4. This won't be your normal Christmas service. We had that earlier, so this is just kind of something I was doing devotions. I'm a little more different than people, but we'll try to work Christmas into it. So on these, if you've gotten your flyout or your handout yet, you see that there's pictures of a couple of monuments on there. And most people will know what those are by sight. So the message today is going to be on monuments. We're going to do a little looking into monuments and monuments in our lives and in our homes. And I saw the nativity scene here, and I saw it earlier, and we talk about the wise men, and we look at the stable and everything, and the shepherds, and the wise men I know came later than the shepherds, but there was cows there, and we knew that, because when the wise men came, they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So, my wife told me not to say that one, so I went against her judgment. But let's go to a word of prayer before we start. Lord, we thank you so very much for the opportunity to be here in your house. We thank you so very much for this time of year. Again, without your birth, there wouldn't be the cross, and we just pray that you would be with us. And also be with Brother Dale as he'll be preaching. We're working with the inmates. Just pray that you would be with him and help them to be receptive and work in his heart and in their lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're going to start with Joshua 4. We're going to read 1 through 7. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared to the children of Israel, out of the tribe, amen. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. So in verse 4 we say that it's read, Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe. Whom he had prepared stuck out to me, because it wasn't just, obviously God told him to do these things, but it wasn't just, okay, we're here, go grab 12 stones. Joshua got prepared, and that's the thing that we should be looking at in our lives. We should be preparing our lives continually to be doing the right things.
Good.
Take note that Joshua prepared them. He didn't just pick somebody. He followed the instructions God gave him. Very laid out, very specific, and Joshua did what he was supposed to do. We got the same thing today. We have a Bible that lays out very specifically how we're supposed to be doing it. We have no excuse to not follow what he's laid out in front of us, okay? Prepare yourself, be ready, just like he did. As Christians, we need to be prepared, not just, trials are coming, we've talked about this before, you're going to be in a trial, you're going to be in a circumstance, and if you're not prepared, you're not going to know how to handle it. You're not going to be ready for whatever is coming at you. Joshua 4:5, And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord, your God, in the midst of the Jordan. The other word that stuck out to me there is midst. And take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. In the midst, he told them again very specifically. Now, in the midst, they didn't just walk into the water. The water was already being held back. That's the reason they could get to the midst. So they were already seeing his power. He was showing them his power by opening that Jordan up. He was also showing, he didn't want them to get a stone off the edge of the bank where it was easy. Not everything in life is easy. Here he wanted to show his power, but he said, go get the stones out of the middle. Get them out of the midst. Don't just look, okay, we'll follow through, which we do a lot. Okay, God said to do this, read my Bible. Okay, that's the shortest passage. Okay, I'm done. No, you need to prepare. You need to do what he's telling you to do. Follow through. That's what they did. They went back into the midst where they were told to get them, and they got the stones. The other thing is they didn't get pebbles. They followed what he said. They could have just picked up pebbles again along the edge of the bank. No, they were very specific. They were to get the stones from the midst. So they did exactly what he said. Brings me to this point. Some work you have to be involved to do. You shouldn't be just sitting, reaping the benefits of everybody else's work. You should be getting into the work yourself. If it's worth doing, do it right. It's a statement I always heard growing up. It's the same thing with our Christian walk. If you know you're supposed to be doing something, do it right. Don't just fluff it off and go about your normal business. Make sure it's important enough. It's important enough to God to tell us how to do it. It's important enough to us to do it right. Okay? Joshua 4, verse 7. Then ye shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be the memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Let's see. Okay. And let's see, the end of verse 6. What mean ye by these stones? And the question is, are they asking? Are your kids, we should be building a monument. And this is what he instructed Joshua to do, so that when somebody came walking back through there from the Israelites, they could say, what are these stones, Dad? He could instruct them. It was very important that they did this, that they knew what those stones stood for. They knew their history, their past. The question is, are they asking? Are our kids, are we living our life good enough? Are we building a good enough monument that our kids are asking us questions about the Bible?
Amen.
Are they, excuse me, are they asking us why we do something different than somebody else? We do something in our family. If we see an ambulance or a fire truck that's obviously on a call, we have a word of prayer for whoever's involved, who's going to be involved. And even yesterday, we were in Olean, didn't think about it. The ambulance fire truck goes by us, and Autumn says, aren't we supposed to pray? Thanks for catching us. So we have to have that as a major part of our life, that we continue to, that our kids are asking why we do something, why we don't do something. Again, I just read 7, so at the end of that verse, my other question would be, are we teaching them? I mean, are they asking, but are we teaching them? Or are we letting others teach our kids? Again, the church is a wonderful place. It has Sunday school teachers, it has pastors, but that's not the primary reason for the church. You should be teaching your kids in your home so that they notice a difference in your home.
That's right.
So that they know that what you stand for, what that monument stands for. Not just, there's a heap of stones out there. No, what do those stones stand for? Each individual stone should stand for something, and are we teaching our kids what those stones stand for? And again, don't let others, I mean, yes, obviously church is a great place to learn things, but we should know what we should be first primarily teaching our kids and our family and being the leaders, and then the church is their great substitute, not a substitute, a great tool, but it shouldn't be where our kids are learning everything. We're going to skip down because of time. We're going to go down to verse 21. And I haven't read this one yet. We're going to do 21 until the end. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Now, didn't we hear that somewhere else? Right up in verse 6. So my understanding is whenever God tells us something more than once, he really wants to drive that home. This is twice in one chapter he's told you, what mean you by these stones? He wants you to know what you stand for and be able to answer your kids when they ask that question. Verse 22, then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. sidebar or side point here. We just went over this lesson, a lot of this lesson in my Sunday school class. And there was a lot of good questions brought up. One thing I learned is it's hard for me to visualize what happened. It's hard for the kids in my Sunday school class to visualize what happened. Even back then it was hard. If one generation away never saw the water back on a heap. They didn't. That's why they're asking, what was this monument about? Well, God opened the water and really? Well, you, a lot of times you need to really get specific on how you tell the story. A lot of times we don't know the story. I mean, we don't know, we weren't there, but God recorded it for us so that we can pass it on from generation to generation, and that's why it's so important we understand what the stones stand for. Verse 23, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea when he dried it up from before us until we were gone over. Now again, even one generation away from when it happened, it's already starting to lose. If you haven't been there, it's already starting to lose some of it in translation. So that's why it's so important that we stick to the King James Version, because it's so, every dot and tittle is in there that we need. That's why he put them in there for us, so we can pass it on to the next generation. Not just, well, this kind of happened. No, we need to know exactly what happened so that we can pass it on, so that the next generation is learning it specifically the way we need it. Again, verse 21, what mean ye by these stones? What is your answer going to be? Do you know what the stones in your monument? We're going to get to that on that drawing. You're going to see there's a word bank. And the majority of those words are out of Galatians 5. They're the fruit of the Spirit. There's what you shouldn't be doing, and there's what you should be doing. And then below it is two pictures of monuments. Now, obviously, the one has salvation as the main broad ground block. And God says he's the cornerstone, or that Christ is the cornerstone. We should be building our monument on the firmest rock we can find. Now, the other picture will show you just kind of haphazardly rocks thrown in there. It's kind of a picture of the Christian life today. There's a lot of people that just play the game. They come to church, here's a couple pebbles, throw them in. I want a monument, okay, throw this rock in. As you can see, it's not very steady looking. That monument is not something I'd want to put another stone onto. The other one is built on Christ. Everything is being built solid, strong. That's the good fruit of the Spirit. You need to discern for yourselves, and again, it's in Galatians 5, you need to see where you lie. Are you fulfilling more of the worldly things, or are you fulfilling the fruit of the Spirit? Are you living your life so that when you build that monument, you're putting in purity, you're putting in the good things that we need to build our relationship with Christ on, we need to build our family on? Again, what are your monuments? Are they whatever makes you happy, or are they things that Christ told you to be building your life on, things that Christ wants you to be surrendering to, building on, growing in? Again, the handout had a few big ones that should be in the Christian monument would be salvation, again, first and foremost, faith, purity, devotions, prayer, fellowship, witnessing. These are all huge stones that we should be putting on our monument. Again, the devotion is probably one of the toughest ones. It's easy to just read it, okay, and go. It's another to read it, and if you didn't get anything, reread it and pray. What am I not getting here, God? Show me. It's a time for you to spend with God. It's not a time to have the TV on, the radio on. It's time to just be quiet and just fellowship with your Savior. Do we even have a monument? That's the tough question. Would anybody even notice that you are different than the world? Does anybody know that in day-to-day contact there's something different with you? Again, I even had this question asked in Sunday school class, or not asked, but I even said, if you got a little piece of land and you want to build a monument, find some stones, whatever's important to you, when you place that there, you're going to remember it. It could be 5 years later and you're going to go by and go, that stone stood for, and it can kickstart your relationship again. It can get you back into where you should be with God if you have slipped a little bit. But again, the question, what stones are important to you? Talk about them often with your children. Now, I might offend some people because I don't care for this place. I'm not a Walmart fan. But don't let Christmas just be Walmart's day. We are to be celebrating Christ. Again, his birth is very significant because it led to the cross. If there wasn't a birth, there wouldn't be a cross. We would not have eternal security. We would not have salvation if it wasn't for that. So I don't have TV, but I know the commercials are out there from being in waiting rooms and in emergency rooms and stuff, that Walmart and I'll say all the big box name stores, their commercials are plastered everywhere, and everybody's so happy and everybody's so excited. They don't show the people that are distraught. They don't show. They're putting, in my opinion, a false spin on Christmas, because obviously there's nothing being said about Christ. It's just, we'll give you this deal. Come in and buy it. That's not what Christ. That's not what the birth was about. Again, celebrate Christmas. This is where we're going to put Christ into this message, the birth. Now, part of monuments to me is traditions. And I understand not everybody came. I was fortunate to be raised in a Christian home. Not everybody was. Again, this is your opportunity to start traditions in your home.
That's right, yes, sir.
I will give you a couple that my family did, and this is not so that everybody does the same thing that Neil Ford does. This is just to give you ideas of something you could do. But our family goes around and we spell out Merry Christmas. M is four, and whatever M means to you, you say it. Goes to the next person until you spell Merry Christmas. That's just a simple thing. But before all the presents come rushing out, this is what we should, in my opinion, you should be doing, is remembering Christ first, not letting it all be about the presents. The other thing that we do, obviously we read Luke 2, and we have prayer. And don't get me wrong, when I was growing up, I was the same way as any other kid. You saw the presents, that's all you could focus on. It was, oh, I can't wait to get them presents, I can't wait. And you tolerated it, I guess is the word I'll use. Okay, let's get through Luke 2. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. As I've gotten older, it's become a whole lot more important, obviously. Now, kids are going to still want to get to those presents, but as a parent, a Christian parent, and again, going back to the monuments, you need to set in your house how it's going to be. I can't tell you how to do that. That's your house, it's your decisions. But again, we do a couple of family traditions. We have prayer, we read Luke 2, and in due time they get their presents. Didn't the toy's still gonna shine the same? It's still gonna break in 2 days. It doesn't matter. But what does matter is that you're setting a monument in your house. You're laying down, block by block, what your family's going to do, what it's going to stand for. Another tradition that Ashley and I did, when we first got our, we don't have a huge amount of land, but when we got land, it was obviously a gift from God, and I wanted to do something that showed God that it mattered to me. So Ashley and I talked about it, we bought a little tree ornament. And we walk up on the hill, and we put it on a spruce tree on Christmas morning. After we let them open their presents, we're not that cruel. But we go up, and we take a birthday cake with us, just a small little cake or cupcakes or whatever. And we put the ornament on the tree. We pray, thanking God for his birth. But to do something special with the land he gave us, to celebrate what Christ means to us. And we have prayer again, and we come down, usually the candles, if they'll stay lit in the whole shot. Now, my first thought when we decided to do this was, I saw the whole family going to the whole, all the way to the top of the hill, so it was a special place and everything. After about 300 yards, I could tell the family wasn't going for that. So it's a tree closer to the house than I would have picked. But it keeps us thinking about Christ, because I get to go up and weed eat around it during the summer to make sure that it's clear for when we go up during the winter. It did help because we bought a side-by-side to make it easier to get up on the hill, but that's my shiny toy. But don't want to forget what Christ did for us, to take time out and celebrate. And again, you don't have to do everything that I'm saying. That it's your tradition, but I think your tradition should be part of your monument. Make some family traditions that are part of your monument so that you can see them. It recalls your mind. One thing I wanted to say to grandparents and parents that, again, the word, I'm going to use the word tolerated again. We know that some people aren't living for the Lord. Their kids aren't living for the Lord. Their grandkids aren't living for the Lord. But more than likely, your kid's going to come over for a Christmas present, or your grandparent, your grandkid's going to come over for a Christmas present. Sabotage Christmas. If that kid's not going to ever hear, be in a church or hear about Christ all year long, but he's coming into your house, if you're a Christian, use some of these things that I talked about. Read Luke 2 before they get their present. Don't just hand it to them and say, "Oh, that's great to see you, grandkid." Put Christ in Christmas. Whether they're only there 5 minutes or 10 minutes, they're going to wait for that present. So you lay on them what you got to lay on them so that they get it. You're still going to give an answer. If you just said, "Merry Christmas, grandson," and he walks back out the door and you didn't ever told him about Christ, you're going to answer for that.
Yeah.
So they have your undivided attention, so give them what they need while they're there. Going to switch gears kind of again. So what's Christ's monument? Obviously, that answer is us. Now, I feel very bad for Christ because we're a sorry lot, and when he's showing off his monument, it doesn't look too good. But it is us. That's his monument. Is Christ talking about you to God? How you're living, how you're making it through your trials, how you're handling things, how you're building your monument. Again, Christ is watching. Are we being the best stone we can be for his monument?
Yeah, amen.
So that he can make something great out of this, his monument. When they look at a monument, when you're building your monument, again, does it point to Christ? On your handout, is when you look at those two piles, is yours more of the things you shouldn't be doing or the things that you are doing? If your monument, I would hope and pray, is the folks that are here know what's right and wrong. I would pray that your monument's filled with those fruits of the Spirit that are what we're supposed to be doing. Again, everything we should do in our life should be pointing towards Christ. Everything in our family should be pointing towards Christ. If we're here Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Wednesday night, that's not enough. When you get home, everything you should be doing in front of your kids should be making a monument and should be pointing them towards Christ. So when they look at that monument from years later, the monument you left, it points them to Christ. They can look up. There's many more stones on your monument that they can keep looking and look straight to Christ, whether they're walking for God or not. Now, the neat thing, we're almost done. The neat thing about a monument is rocks will fall. I don't care who you are. Even pastors fall. Even pastors have sin. So when you're building that monument, there's going to come a time where a rock's going to fall back off that monument. We fail. We're not going to be perfect. The neat thing is we can pick that rock back up and start over and put it back on top of the monument. You can't, just because you've been working on something diligently, and I'll use devotions. You've been working and working and working on devotions, and all of a sudden you forget it for 3 days. You can't abandon it. You need to pick that rock back up, put it back on there, open your Bible, make the time, do it. Again, what will your What will you fill your monument with? And again, there's that word bank on there. Pick words out of there that mean something to you. Pick words that are gonna, that you feel God wants you to be. Not just, well, I've made three of these words. He didn't put them all in the Bible, just, oh, pick and choose which ones you wanted, what you want to do. He gave you all of them. Mm-hmm. Believe me, I don't hit probably five of them, but that's the part about building a monument. Mm-hmm. I can continue to work to be better, to build my monument for my future generations to follow. When you rely on yourself, it's going to crumble. Again, on that picture, I believe the top one is yourself. If you're living for yourself and that's what you want your monument to show, it's going to crumble. Future generations are going to crumble. Not saying that if you build yours right and you're building it on salvation, that there's not going to be, all your kids are going to follow, all your grandkids are going to follow, but you have a much better chance if they've seen what matters to you and you're building the right pile versus you're building the pile for yourself. If you've got pride in there, if you've got all those things, it's going to crumble, and more than likely generations down the line are going to crumble. If you build your monument on Christ, then it will stand. As verses 6 and 21 stated, what mean ye by these stones? If you want your kids and your grandkids to ask you those questions, why do you do this? Why do you... You have the opportunity that you're never going to get again to tell them why you do these things. Again, I grew up in a Christian home. I did not enjoy going to church all the time because I had walked away from the Lord. I don't want to say a struggle. I did what I had to do to play along so that my parents thought I was a good person. Completely knowing that wasn't me. Again, God was good, gave me a second chance to start my monument over again.
Amen.
Again, if you're fallen, if you're not doing what you should be doing, you have every opportunity to start that monument over again. But you got to be very diligent with your family to show them how you've changed and what matters to you and what you're going to make matter. If you build a strong enough base, future generations will add to it. If you build it, there was a movie, if you build it, they will come. I think it was The Field of Dreams. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the same thing. If you build your monument and it's based on salvation, it's living for God, they will come. I can't guarantee you every kid that walks away from God is going to come back. But if you build the right monument, you have a better chance.
Yes, sir.
Autumn is going to come up and she's going to play number 53. We're going to sing along with her. She is as nervous as her dad is. So she will hopefully do a good job. I know she will. But if somewhere she gets lost, just keep singing. She'll catch up with us.